You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Hi, Jamie Lee, are you there?
Yes, good to be with you.
Good to meet with you too. So I'm also in here, in studio with the news director, Shamina, as well.
Hey.
Hi, Shamina.
How are you? Oh, wait, Tess needs to put my mic on.
There we go. Yep, no, we're good to go now.
Cool, sorry about that. So first up, let's talk about Nikki Haga's book Hit and Run. So the government is dismissing the allegations in the book, even though Nikki Haga and John Stevenson are credible journalists. Why is this?
Not dismissing. The issues at hand that were in the book were investigated by the International ICF Force. The New Zealand Defence Force stands by their claims that no inappropriate actions were taken by the New Zealand SAS. New Zealand SAS, they're professionals. They are extraordinarily trained individuals and they conduct themselves appropriately. And where there were questions raised, where there were civilian casualties, they were appropriately investigated, and it was found that New Zealand Defence Force and New Zealand SAS did not act inappropriately. And I think we, as a government and as a country, need to back our soldiers. We need to back the people that put themselves in harm's way. And Nikki Haga, he does come at these issues with a particular viewpoint, but in typical Nikki Haga style, he didn't ask for comment from New Zealand Defence Force. He didn't ask for comment from the government. He didn't give anyone an advance copy to be able to respond to the allegations. You have to ask yourself, if you are a credible journalist and you are interested in getting to the bottom of the situation and getting facts in front of the public, why didn't he ask for comments beforehand? Why didn't he seek assurances before publishing? He didn't. That just suggests to me that perhaps he's not quite interested in getting to the facts of the matter, but it has been investigated and we stand by the New Zealand Defence Force's actions, which were found not to be inappropriate.
So we've heard from ex-Defence Minister Wayne Mapp this week, who's conceded that civilians may have died in the raid attack. What do you make of this U-turn from his previous position in 2011 when he said no civilians were killed?
He's also indicated quite strongly in his comments that this is a difficult situation. They're operating in a war zone. They're operating with the best information they had at the time. And he also stands by the investigation, which found that the New Zealand Defence Force did not act inappropriately. I can't comment on what he might have said at the time or what information he was acting on. He made those comments. But I have seen his comments recently where he's heavily and strongly indicated that he supports the New Zealand Defence Force and he supports the fact that they were doing what was appropriate at the time, and that has been found after an investigation to be the right thing. It's unfortunate when any civilians end up as casualties, and I think our Defence Force are highly trained to ensure as far as possible there are never any civilian casualties. We go into these situations to try and do good, to help a country, in this case Afghanistan, try and help the Afghani people to recover after some devastating series of events over a number of years. We went there to try and assist. We went there to try and help them rebuild. And the SAS were there to protect our provincial reconstruction team, which were there to help and assist with reconstruction in Afghanistan. We went there to help people. We went there to do humanitarian work. We didn't go there to try and target civilians. It is a war zone, though. It's extremely unfortunate what has happened, but our New Zealand soldiers acted appropriately with the information they had and the circumstances they were in.
But even though, I mean, so obviously they didn't go there with the intention to kill civilians, are you admitting that this is a possibility that could have happened?
Shamina, it's a war zone. I wish there was no war, and I wish there were no war zones, and I wish there was no chance ever that civilians would end up as casualties. But I also know that our people were there to assist the Afghani people. Our people were there to help with reconstruction. But our people also need defending, and our people also need supporting. And in a situation like that, in a situation that neither of us, I think, have been in or would ever expect to be in, there were some tough in-the-moment decisions that had to be made with the best information they had available. It turns out there were some civilian casualties, That is extremely unfortunate. But did our people act appropriately? Has it been investigated? The answer to those questions is yes, and we should therefore be supporting our New Zealand troops that put themselves in harm's way for our country.
But that's the thing, that's why the second investigation is necessary though, right? Because the initial investigation said that there were no civilian casualties, but now we're saying, well, actually, maybe this might have happened, it wasn't our intention, but it could have happened, it's a war zone. Like, is that not the reason why a second investigation needs to take place?
An investigation taken place by international forces, and we can't investigate other nations' actions either. That is done by the appropriate body, the ISAF investigation. That was done. Our forces were found to have acted appropriately, and we support them.
But the New Zealand was leading this raid, though. So even if, you know, another country was responsible for the deaths of these civilians, New Zealand was in charge of that raid.
Samita, I don't have any more information than I've given you. What I know is that it was a war zone. What I know is that there was an investigation into the raid. What I know was that our people were acting on the best information that they had available. And what I know is that our forces were found to have acted appropriately, and we should be supporting them in that situation. I don't have any further information. I'm not the Minister of Defence. I'm not the Minister that's in charge of security. I have the same information available publicly that the rest of us do, and the information that is publicly available is that it has been investigated thoroughly by the appropriate groups, and our forces were found to have acted appropriately.
All right, I think we'll move on to our next topic.
Okay, so moving on to the Equal Pay Bill. So Green MP Jan Loggie has her bill has been drafted from the ballot box yesterday, which would enforce employers to be transparent about what women are being paid for the same job as men. The National Secretary of the Public Service Association says this bill will pose virtually no cost to employers and should be supported by all parties. So what are your initial thoughts on this?
Firstly, it's just been pulled from the ballot last week, or a few days ago, actually, and we haven't had a chance as a caucus to consider it. We think in general, having transparency and information out there is important. Also having the government leading the way and having the State Services Commission leading the way on publishing information is important too. We have to consider, though, or the Parliament has to consider, whether it's right and appropriate for every employer across the country to report very detailed information. I accept that there will not be huge costs in reporting this information, but every single thing that the government expects an employer to do, every single thing that a government puts on an employer by way of obligation, it does come at a time cost, it does come at other costs as well, and we'll need to consider whether that's something that we should be doing. The gender pay gap over time is trending down, and that's a positive thing. We want to lead the way by getting more women onto boards as a government as well. We want to lead the way by ensuring that our government agencies are following appropriate gender pay principles, and I think there's a lot of oversight over this, and that should be welcomed, and that's a good thing. When you move towards putting obligations on employers, though, that's a question you have to ask yourself, whether you want to go that far, and we haven't answered that question yet. So genuinely, it came up a couple of days ago, and we haven't considered it as a caucus yet.
Well, earlier this month, Paula Bennett said it's time to pay women what they're worth. So would this bill not be the best way to achieve this? If not, what are the other options? How else can we achieve this?
Well, I think as a government, we can lead the way. We can ensure that we are paying women what they're worth. We can ensure that we're highlighting this issue. And I think it's good that the Parliament debates issues like this. The question for the Parliament will be, though, how far do we go in imposing greater obligations on employers? There is the Equal Pay Act already. There is an expectation in law that women are paid the same as men if they're doing the same job. And we absolutely support that. And we absolutely have a minister like Paula Bennett as Minister for Women championing those issues. But we haven't considered this bill as a caucus yet. We don't have a caucus view on it. But in principle, it's important that women are paid appropriately, and it's important that steps are taken, certainly within the public sector, to lead the way and be doing the right thing. Because when we lead the way and do the right thing,
it flows through the rest of the country as well.
Okay, cool. That's all I have for you today, Jamie Lee. Thanks very much for talking to us.
Great. Good to be with you.
Good
Thank
to see you too. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross. The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.